This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Lot to do on a busy Wednesday heading into a hopefully great holiday weekend. And we say goodbye, Chris Canty, to the first half of 2020. And we hope to see nothing like you ever again.
Well, yeah, Dave, better days ahead, right? I mean, this is I'm not going to say we're at rock bottom. I'm not going to tempt fate in that way, but it's been about as bad as it could be for the first half of any year. We just hope that we're going to emerge in the second half a better country, and we just hope that people use common sense and practice all the precautions that are necessary in order for us to defeat this pandemic. So that's the only thing we can do. But I'm trying to be optimistic today. Today is a good day. Well, not as good a day for me as it is for Bobby Bonilla, but today is a good day, and my mom is celebrating another birthday, another trip around the sun, so I want to send a special happy birthday shout-out to the Reverend Shirley L. Canty.
I like how you played that. I like how you played it a lot, because it felt like you were about to say her age, and you got the better of that, you got ahead of it, and you just said another birthday, another trip around the sun, and you did not give away her age. So well played by you.
Appreciate that, Dave. How are you guys doing?
I'm fine. Rick, how are you?
Big day today, Dave.
I worry about you.
Why do you worry about me? Good riddance to the first 6 months. I'll say that. Good riddance to the first 6 months.
Yeah. If this was a halftime score, it'd be like 2020, 147, and us nothing.
No, this is a halftime score. You tap out. That's it.
Yeah, you pull away. We're not showing up for the second half of this game, right?
Yeah, you walk right out. You just take the team, you say, we're done. And then on top of it, you actually suspend the other team's coach for running up the score.
This is kind of like the Patriots in Super Bowl 51, 28-3. Doesn't it feel like that?
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like we're going to bounce back, though. I don't see that on the horizon.
you don't see that kind of bounce back?
I think they're going to tack on. I feel like Atlanta's going to tack on.
Unless 2020 starts throwing all over the place and not running down the clock, I don't think we're going to win this one, yeah.
Yeah, unless COVID-19 is consulting with Kyle Shanahan, I think we're in trouble.
But you're in field goal range. Throw.
Seven-step drop.
Yeah. But you can lose yardage, and it doesn't matter.
Nah, big day for me, though. Big day. I'm looking forward to it. You know what today is, Wednesday. Oh, yeah, boys.
What is this, Chicago Bulls something? What's happening?
It's game day. It is grocery store day.
Oh, boy.
At the DiPietro house.
See,
oh, yeah.
This is why I worry. I knew. I had a feeling that something was going on with you.
Oh, something's going on, baby. I'm getting out of the house. They're letting me loose. I got the playlist all set, ready to go for the grocery store. I got the list. I'm ready, baby.
Yeah? Will you be in hazmat suit when you hit the grocery store?
I got my special out of the house clothes all ready to go.
Do they get tossed when you get home?
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm not allowed to bring them in the house. No, they stay outside. They stay in the garage. I wonder if they notice by now that I wear the same I wonder if anyone at the grocery store notices that I wear the same clothes every time I go to the grocery store.
You think people in the grocery store notice that much attention, you're wearing?
If they're paying that much attention to what you're wearing at the grocery store, they got problems.
Yeah, but I noticed that stuff, and on top of it, not only do I go to the grocery store, but you guys know what happens to me at the grocery store, where I got to go get an extra cart, and I'm wheeling out two carts. I'm a mess.
You're a disaster.
Glasses are all fogged up. Gloves. Hood.
Did you figure out the situation with the landscapers yet?
I almost fought one today, I'm going to be honest.
He needs new landscapers. I think
today was close.
Unbelievably apparent.
Well, today was close. You know how I always say my biggest pet peeve is, I mean, you're supposed to be a lawn care professional.
You see, your this job is about drinking the shake from.
Yeah, look at him. He's got to get his antioxidants, man. He can't function right.
Oh, my
look
God.
Look at Rex loves
like
it.
Like a blueberry shake from
with
the
white
pitcher.
Shirt.
Yeah.
With a white shirt.
Oh, my God. He's unbelievable.
As he's about to go on, what happens in that situation if, God forbid, you slip up? And that just is all over your dress shirt. Now what do you do? Now you're in one.
Would you love it if that slipped out of his hand and the entire thing went all over his shirt?
Oh, I'd pay good money for that.
Yeah, you would, right?
Like, they're like, okay, Mike, you got 20 seconds. And he's like, you know what? I'm a little parched. I'll take one more sip.
Uh-huh. Lost control over the shirt.
Loses control. Greeny goes right to Mike Tannenbaum live. From his palatial state.
Blueberry all over his face.
He's got blueberry smoothie all over him. I pay good money for that. I would pay good money for that.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Just like I would pay good money for a different landscaper at this moment.
Yeah, but that's within your own control. Fire the landscaper
not really.
And bring the new guy in.
Well, the problem is you got to find the new guy. That's the first problem. Second problem is they show up today unannounced. They're supposed to be here on Thursday. I got the sprinklers going and everything else to try to maintain the grass because there hasn't been much rain. And I got enemy number one rolling around in his riding lawnmower just through the mud. Just that tire tracking up the entire lawn. I'm like, well, what isn't the purpose of your job to maintain the lawn and make sure it looks good, or is it to completely destroy
you
it?
You have an awful landscaper. I think
he's awful.
That's evidence.
Yeah,
that
they're
awful.
Terrible. They're just trying to check a box right now. We stopped by the DiPietro house this week.
That's
we
right.
Got that out the way. One step closer to our holiday.
He'll
weekend.
Never replace us, so exactly. We never really have to do good work.
Well, now he's
they're
trying to spite me too. But now he's trying to spite me because I had the front of the house, like the landscaping in the front of the house. Cass was just disgusted with it, and she's like, "We need to find someone else that actually like knows how to
landscape.
Well, not even landscape. Almost like a, I don't want to say stylist, but maybe a stylist. Like where the person comes in and like they give you like this detailed like picture of what they're going to add and how it will look. So she found a company that's really good. So they planted all these plants, but they mulched. So I used a new person to do the front mulch, and now this landscaper is trying to spite me, so he purposely has his guys out there with the blowers blowing my mulch all over the place, like blowing the mulch out of the beds.
I don't know. Never did I want to talk about the return of the NBA and Adam Silver and him having a loophole to him not having to be isolated in this bubble. But that's where we start the show. We'll get into the Yankees. Obviously, we got some CMT coming your way a little bit later on. We've got Andy Trivia later on this hour. We've got observations at 12:30. But let's start with the commissioner. It's from a Time 100 Talks, and is he confident that the NBA is going to restart later this month now?
I'm pretty confident, largely because, as I said, we're playing on a campus that is confined in that the only way to gain access to that campus is to be part of our protocol where there is regular testing. And if someone were to leave our campus, again, they would need to test and quarantine in order to return to play. So at least in terms of the model, we're protected from the rate of cases in the community, in the broader community.
And then you find out that he's going to be going in and out of the bubble.
Which doesn't make any sense to me at all, Dave. I don't know why he wouldn't adhere to the same protocols, the same safety measures that he's putting in place for the players and the coaches. That part of it doesn't make any sense. I would think that nobody would be above, you know, the quarantining and the isolating that they're trying to do in order to continue forward with the season and the postseason. I just don't understand that. From a symbolism standpoint, he's the commissioner of the sport.
Yeah, he's the leader of this entire league, and he's going to be going in and out of the bubble?
Yeah, that part of it doesn't make any sense, especially when you consider what's going on in the community around where they're playing these games at. I mean, the state of Florida is on the uptick. What's been going on there the last calendar week, Dave, it's downright scary. And then you're going to have employees from the company that are going to be in and out of that bubble trying to serve the players and the coaches and all the NBA staff. To me, it just feels like this is going to be a disaster. I'm hoping for the best day, but it's hard for me to be optimistic with the information that we have today.
Well, he's probably going to do some of his voiceovers for South Park. So he's got to leave and come back.
Come on, man. They can't find a place for him to do that there?
Yeah.
They can't find a place to do that there?
There's no recording studio within Orlando? All of Orlando?
They got everything else in that in the campus. Listen, if this thing is going to work, you know, obviously this is going to be the situation where it will work. And I think, you know, as a country, we've almost become desensitized to the positive tests, the positive cases of COVID-19. I think all these sports leagues will continue to just push along, and you'll have more positive tests. And as long as guys get through it and they're healthy on the other side, they'll keep going.
So until something happens. So if you have a multitude of positive tests, but nothing extreme, you push along. And when you have
they'll
a guy go on a ventilator, then you step back and reassess where you're at?
Well, yeah, because at that point, the players are going to say enough is enough. Not now it's... If I think what's given some of the players, knowing it's a risk, what would give me confidence is seeing the Von Millers, the Zeke, all these athletes get it, some asymptomatic, get through it, and be fine on the other side. So in your mind, athletes already think they're invincible. If I do get this, first of all, you're feeling like, okay, with the protocols in place, this is as safe as it could possibly be. But if I do get it, it'll be 2 weeks, and I'll be through it. If, God forbid, someone ends up on a ventilator, now you take a step back and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, I mean, if it could happen to him and he handles it this way, who's to say it can't happen to me?
Look, I don't want to be this negative Nelly on the show, but I want to try to be realistic. Just statistically, Chris, at some point, doesn't some athlete wind up getting really sick from this, though?
Yeah, it just feels like it's a matter of time, Dave. I mean, it's not encouraging when you hear about Dr. Fauci saying that the rate of infections, the rate of new cases could easily jump from 40,000 to 80,000. He said, we haven't gotten control of this thing and we're moving in the wrong direction. And when you start to add up all the new cases of COVID, you know, inevitably you're going to be talking about people losing their lives. And it feels like we're headed down that direction with sports as well. Like with all of these players that are testing positive, that are being infected with the virus, sure, it seems like most of the guys have been able to come through this okay, but it feels like you're going to eventually get to somebody that has an underlying condition or is susceptible in some way to this virus where it takes a turn for the worse. And I don't know that the return of live team sports is worth that risk. I just don't see that. Like, I understand everybody wants to get back to some sense of normalcy, and sports plays a huge role in that, in our society, in our culture. But it just doesn't feel like it's worth the risk when we start to talk about people's health, people's lives. This is one of those things you just don't know enough. We don't have enough information. And so to be able to properly assess the risks, I know that we're seeing guys that are getting through this, but we don't know the long-term effects that this virus is going to have on those athletes. We don't know what's going to happen to Ezekiel Elliott's career. We don't know what's going to happen to Von Miller's career. We just have so many unknowns. And so I can actually understand why there are players out there, whether it's baseball, basketball, hockey, that are deciding to opt out because they just are uncomfortable with the level of risk that's associated with the return to play.
Yeah, I think you're wasting your breath, though. I know what you're saying, but you know, for these leagues financially, they have to push through it or try to push through it. I mean, that has to be their mindset. I mean, let's not forget too. I mean, the reason the NBA shut down, there was chaos happening all around these sports leagues. I mean, the only reason they shut down is because Rudy Gobert got it at the time, and we didn't know anything about it at that moment, like how it would affect him. And the fact that all these athletes have gotten through it, I mean, they're racing against the clock. They're going to try to get as much in as humanly possible. Meanwhile, not really caring about, you know, long-term ramifications on the players and everything else, and try to get as much of this in. And if they can get the entire rest of the playoffs and the championship in, that's what they're going to try to do. Unless a team gets wiped out, or God forbid, you know, somebody has a really severe reaction to COVID-19.
So you think if somebody has a really severe reaction, like, I don't know, not a LeBron, because I think that's obvious.
Any player
winds up on a ventilator, and you think that there's real discussion of shutting this thing down.
Dave, in all honesty, do you think, in the grand scheme of things, with what we've seen from college sports, professional sports, do you think that these leagues really care about the health and safety of their players, honestly?
I think they do up to an extent.
Okay, yes. Yeah. If it doesn't affect the bottom line, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the reason
I think that money is the dominant factor, but there are... I think that in a perfect world, they'd like to make as much money as possible and ideally keep the guys safe. I do believe that.
As long as they're making money, they want to keep everyone safe. Yeah,
that's right.
But okay, so the reason why, if I have a 68-year-old coach of the Minnesota Twins that says, you know what, I'm willing to take the risk. Guess who's not willing to take the risk? Major League Baseball. Because he's at risk. And if, God forbid, he does get COVID-19, because it feels like at some point, you know, a lot of people are going to get it, and he dies or ends up on a ventilator, then the players are going to go, whoa, 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 time out. This is our coach. Now we have to stop. That's their biggest fear. Yeah, they want to keep him safe, but in reality, they want to make sure nothing bad happens to anyone involved, because that's when it's going to have to stop. Because the player's going to say, you know what? It's not worth it. This risk is not worth it. Because that could be me. Right now, there hasn't been a case of that could be me. Every athlete that's had it has gotten through it.
Yeah, I understand that. But I guess as we continue to move forward, inevitably more players are going to get it. And just by the sheer numbers, you're probably going to run into somebody that's going to have a little more trouble than most in terms of trying to work past it. And I guess that's the thing that you worry about, because you don't know how that situation is going to turn out. You have no idea.
And that sport would be football. And it would be college football and in the National Football League would be my two biggest concerns.
Right. Because they say that the more unhealthy you are, the worse chances you have. And what sport has the most unhealthy-looking players? It's clearly football.
And there's, I mean, it's the definition of a contact sport. I mean, baseball, it's not a bubble, but at least you can, I mean, of the sports, you can socially distance in that sport. I mean, if guys take the proper precautions, and again, that's, you know, kind of a pie in the sky. Who knows if everyone's going to do that? But, I mean, you can, as long as guys are being tested on a regular basis, I would imagine all these players now let them get through it, and then they'll start, I mean, these intensive protocols and make sure everyone that is in the hub or they bring into the hub is going to be negative. I would agree with you. Right now, I think I like where hockey's at the most.
All right, let's hear a little bit more from Adam Silver. He didn't expect the increase of COVID cases when he planned for this bubble in Orlando.
I'll say, though, of course, when we designed this plan, we were not seeing the kind of increases in cases, frankly, not just in Florida and Texas, but at least as of the last few days, the majority of states in the United States are seeing increases in COVID cases. So it's not as if, especially looking out into the future, there's any safe way to predict or pick a market where we'll be confident that the cases will be sufficiently down. So our model was designed for this. Our model was designed to protect us and our players from the cases in the outside community. Maybe at the time we designed it, we didn't think it would be as necessary as it is now, but at least we're preparing for it.
Yeah, and I guess in theory, if you're keeping this as a bubble for the most part or entirely, it shouldn't really matter where you are if no one, you know, that could potentially be infected is getting inside the bubble.
By definition,
in a hotbed.
Well, by definition, it should be the safest place in the country. With how it's set up,
it should be if it's handled properly.
If it's handled properly, if the players, if the players adhere to the rules, if no one, you know, is trying to sneak out of the bubble, and I get it.
I mean, do you trust that many players?
Do I trust that many players? Probably not. But those are conversations that these teams are going to have. Like LeBron James is going to have to sit down with his teammates. Kawhi Leonard, like they're going to have to sit down and say, hey, listen, you being, you know, you not following these protocols, you not following these rules, you're not only putting yourself at risk, you're putting the rest of our team at risk. Have that conversation. It's not going to be easy. I mean, you've already started hearing this, you know, Rob Pelinka talking about the, you know, the mental health of the players. I mean, he suggests yoga and meditation and everything else. But I think, from the phone calls that I've made regarding both, you know, the hub with the NHL and what's going on with the NBA, the bigger concern is, especially in Orlando, and I think that was the reason why Vegas was taken out of the mix, is all the things that need to come into the bubble. Food, deliveries, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that that's not the reason why all of a sudden COVID-19 is introduced. Kind of like what we're dealing with now. Like, I mean, you have packages delivered. You make sure that, you know, a lot of people we've been doing, you keep the packages outside for a couple days, and then you bring them in, open them with gloves, or you take your groceries home and you wipe them down. So now you're relying, too, on the people that are working inside the bubble to make sure they're doing the right thing. Everything's getting wiped down.
Which is a whole nother set of problems. You know, it's hard to be able to guarantee that all of the folks that are going to be involved in this process are all going to do the right things in order to prevent a disaster happening in the bubble. Like, that's trusting a whole lot of people. And I just think that that's almost too big of an ask. You're going to try to do it because you got to have a blueprint. You got to have a game plan. But in terms of them being able to execute it and pull this off for the next couple of months, I'm trying not to be negative about it, but just trying to look at it from a practical standpoint. I just think it's going to be hard to follow through on this.
Yeah, but Chris, I think the fear is it's only going to get worse. It could only get worse. As bad as it looks now, there is potential that it could get worse once
if it does get worse and they are forced to stop again, they're going to go ahead and forget about this season.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no way they're going to be able to resume the 2019.
There's only one stoppage that can happen here. The first stoppage will be the end of the 2020 season.
Yeah, it'll be a wrap.
Yeah, but what here's the point that you guys are missing a little bit. And you're right. I mean, once this thing starts, if a team gets wiped out and you start talking about the integrity of the playoffs and everything else, it's probably not going to ramp back up, right? The fear with these leagues is if it does get worse, we're not just talking about this season. We're talking about the next season. And how you can't afford, like, that's something that they can't, that's like doomsday stuff. Where all of a sudden now this thing bleeds into affecting the following season.
But it could.
And they realize that. And that's why they're trying to get this in now, to brace for the fact that this could actually affect next season. So if they can find a way to get through this now, they're going to try to do it.
The way I guess I look at it is it's a balancing act, right? Because we were trying to determine as a country when was the right time to try to reopen, to try to get things started back up. Because we talk about the fragility of the health of all the people in this country, but our economy also is fragile. So we're just trying to strike that perfect balance. But what we've seen in some states, particularly in the southern part of the country, is that they reopened a little too early and that people didn't take the safety measures as seriously as they probably should have. And now they're at a point where they've got to push the pause button or they've got to close some other things down. And I just wonder how that impacts our future and where we could have been had we extended the lockdown a little longer. I guess the same way I look at that is the same way I look at professional sports. I mean, you're talking about trying to restart professional sports and running the risk of, you know, having a situation where you have to shut it down again just because the virus is being transmitted throughout all of the players and that potentially jeopardizing the following season. I guess I wonder if it's all worth it if you're trying to attempt this restart and it doesn't work out and it ends up ultimately affecting next season. What could have been had you decided to cancel the season and just try to move forward with starting the season back in December or January?
Yeah, but what does that do, though? I don't understand what that accomplishes. I mean, you use this as the opportunity. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you know, we tried. I mean, if the thought is that this could affect next season, why wouldn't you use this as an opportunity to figure out how, you know, how you could make next season work?
All
you
got to
at least try.
I hear what you're saying, but all I'm saying is sports is just a part of society as a whole. Had we decided to shut things down a little longer, maybe we do flatten the curve for the entire country, not just for the tri-state area. Maybe there is the potential to have things open up and stay open if we would have thought about doing things later this summer as opposed to opening up around Memorial Day weekend. I look at all of the different ways that we've treated this, and I look at the different areas of the country that have had success and the areas that are struggling now, and I can't help but think to myself, maybe if we would have had a little more urgency and been a little more sensitive about everything that's going on and the potential and the seriousness of this virus, that we could have tried to put this behind us once and for all rather than being worried about, okay, what we're dealing with now, but also a second wave later on in the fall.
Yeah, but you're not curing COVID-19. I mean, even if you flatten the curve and we're on the downside of it, it's not going anywhere. People are saying it could come back in the fall. I wouldn't compare what's happening in the country to what's going to happen in sports. Not everyone in the country is getting tested every single day. Like, athletes are going to be tested every single day. It's still, I mean, the reality is if there's no vaccine until January and these new seasons start up in December and you got guys going back to training camp in November, it's still, I mean, this is still something that's going to be a concern that you're still going to have to worry about.
No, well, I guess what I'm saying is if you limit the number of cases that are going on around the country, I guess your athletes you're looking at would be in a position where it's safer because not as many people would have the virus. I guess that was my whole point with all of this. So many people are infected with this. You got over 2.6 million cases of COVID-19 right now. And
it's only getting worse.
And the top infectious disease doctor in the country
is saying 100,000 increase.
That's my point, Dave. You're going to try to start back up with that as the backdrop? That, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They're going to try it, and I'm probably wasting my breath, but I'm just saying in terms of the risk that's associated with starting up right now as opposed to later when you've had more time to develop treatment protocols, when you've had more time to work on a vaccine, I just think that's the part of it to me that's hard to reconcile. That's the part that's hard to understand.
Because they don't have more time. There is no more time. The NHL and NBA don't have more time. Baseball doesn't have more time. And they can't live with the idea of not at least trying when it would mean financially the kind of losses that we're talking about here. I mean, NBA players, you heard Fred VanVleet, this is not the right time to play, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, what this could do to their CBA, what could do to their money and everything else, what could do to their league, they got to at least try.
Right.
The NHL has to at least try.
Because there may not be a right time. There may not be a window where you're like, okay.
There's not going to be a right time.
In 4 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever. Like, if you look at what it is now and adhere to the rules, you probably shouldn't play. Then you don't play the rest of the season.
I guess my question is to you guys, the likelihood that you're actually going to start and finish the season with NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, you're weighing that versus the risks that are associated with starting up right now to your players, your personnel, the people that are the product. That's the part of it that you're trying to figure
out. It's a better percentage than zero. By not starting, that's a 0% chance.
Yeah, but you can't say that it's a 0% chance, but somebody won't be adversely affected by the coronavirus in this restart.
But this is the only time. But you're missing the point. If they're going to start and try it, there is no more time to wait. They have to do it now. And if somebody, and they'll cross that bridge when they have to. If someone is adversely affected, then they'll stop. But they have to at least try. The percentages of it working when you don't try are 0%.
No, I understand. I understand that risk, but the risk of somebody getting infected as a result of the restart and having something tragic happen is zero if you don't restart. That's the part of it that I guess my question is, what's the point in restarting if you know that the probability of you finishing the season is very, very low?
It's better than the percentage if I don't try at all.
Yeah, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but when you start, when you take that risk, when you take that chance to try to complete the season, you're putting a whole lot of people at risk.
Exactly right, but you could be putting those same people at risk if you try to start next season. There's no one has enough answers to say that in November it's going to be better. It could be worse.
You could be putting people at a whole lot more risk, but I guess if you delay it, similar to what we talked about with collegiate sports, if you delay it, if you give yourself more time, well, that gives scientists and researchers more time to develop better treatments. That gives them more time to work on a vaccine.
But who's I don't know say, that you can delay it
say
anymore,
that we
Chris.
Won't be there.
But there's no more
the
time.
End, I think you're at the end of that. To have this season now, you have to start now. Like college football, in theory, you could start in February. I don't think it's ideal, but you could.
Sure.
Finish this NBA season, NHL season, if you don't start now, you don't have a next week, a next month, a tomorrow.
No, Dave, that's not what I'm saying, Dave. I think you guys are not understanding what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is this. If you restart this season, that's fine. You can restart this season at the end of this month. Okay, that's great. My question is, and you would have to ask the people that are involved with putting together this plan, what is the likelihood of success for your plan? What is the likelihood that you will be able to start and finish this season? So the 2 weeks of the regular season and then the entire playoffs. What's the likelihood that you're going to get through that? Because based on the information that we have now coming from the medical community, it doesn't feel like it's all that likely that you're going to be able to contain this thing.
But who cares? Who cares? It's a better percentage of not trying at all. The percentage if you don't try and you don't restart and try to finish this is 0%.
Mm-hmm.
So anything better than 0% is a better opportunity to start and finish the season. And if
yes.
they have to shut it down, then they'll shut it down. But right now, they're going to try to get it. Maybe it's pie in the sky, but they're going to try like hell to make it work because no one has any idea what next season is going to look like and how it's going to be affected.
Okay, and Rick, I completely understand the motivation as why they would want to try. I guess my only question is, if it's a low probability that you're actually going to finish the season once you restart it, think about that and then also consider the risk that you're putting these players and coaches at when you actually go through with trying to execute this restart.
And financially now, for the players that want to participate, it's worth it. They're willing to take on the risk. And the leagues are willing to take on the risk.
Yeah.
If you want to opt out, you can opt out.
And you've seen that.
And I think that's why we are seeing guys opt out.
And I don't think you're going to see anybody blame any of these players. I haven't heard any negativity with Ryan Zimmerman or I mean, you picked the guy, Joe Ross, or any of these guys. Or potentially Spencer Dinwiddie, or DeAndre Jordan. If you can't play or you don't feel comfortable playing or you think it's safer to not play, which it obviously is, don't play.
Well, I think it's an intensely personal decision, Dave, and it's different for every guy. And so no guy is in position to judge another player for him making a decision that's different than their own. So, I mean, I think this is one of those things where players are very understanding about it. And even when you look at somebody like Avery Bradley, who's on the team that has the best record in the NBA, I don't think that there's any animosity toward him from LeBron James or Anthony Davis.
I haven't heard one negative comment on anybody that's decided they don't want to play.
No, I think guys understand. Like, listen, the priority for guys has to be their health and safety and the welfare of their families. And for a lot of guys, them going back to work is a part of making sure that their families are taken care of. Like, a lot of these guys can't afford to miss out on this restart from a financial standpoint. And so that's their motivation. But for a guy like Avery Bradley, who has a child that has some respiratory illness issues, it wasn't worth it for him to put himself and his children and his family at risk. So I think everybody understands that people are coming from different places on this thing. And so if a guy makes the decision to opt out, he's not going to get criticized. He's not going to be demonized for it. And if a guy decides to play, guys that are sitting out aren't going to be critical of those guys. So I just, this is one of those things that you have to give the player the choice. And if the player decides to opt out, then that's what it is.
Feels like it kind of all bets are off. This is not the norm. This is like nothing we've ever seen before. And whatever you decide, whatever's best for you and your family, people are going to pretty much be okay with. Now, today on ESPN Daily, MLB players are finally reporting to their facilities. But is baseball prepared to play in the pandemic? The breakdown of spring training 2.0 on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. 800-919-3776. This is our jumping off point. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to baseball. We'll do all the things that we normally do, CMT and observations, all of it, weather check, what time did you go to bed last night, Rick, all that good stuff. You a little sleepy this morning? How you feeling? You okay?
Spry. Tired? Feeling spry?
Spry, yeah, spry, yeah. Like a good night, a lot of Z's last
game day.
Night, right?
It's game day. Early morning, carb up, ready to rock and roll for the grocery store, in and out. Tidy. Produce first, bags all ready, yada D, yada do. I'm in, I'm out.
You're going to do great in that grocery store today.
I doubt it.
800-919-3776, 98.7 ESPN. We'll hear a little more from Adam Silver. 11 o'clock, we'll get into Major League Baseball from the New York Yankees. And sounds pretty optimistic health-wise.
Canty's avoiding his Yankees. I know what's going on. He's avoiding his Yankees.
Why would he be avoiding? He got good news on all fronts yesterday.
Nah, it wasn't. What do you mean it was good news on all fronts? It wasn't great news on all fronts.
It was that everyone should be ready to start the season.
No.
But everybody wasn't going to be there on time.
Optimistic that Stanton could DH? I mean, he can't play. I mean, this was a calf strain in February. That he's still not right? I mean, that's a little concerning, no?
That's a little concerning.
If he can play, that's optimistic, though.
But I think if you do have, you know, several weeks to get things ramped up, to get things started, you would probably be a little more conservative with him, take a slower approach than with the rest of the guys on the team, no?
I wouldn't think that I would have to. I mean, this was a calf strain on February 25th. And you're optimistic that he could potentially DH? I mean, that's what have you been doing?
Man, those calf strains are tricky, dude. You're talking about somebody that had to have surgery because of a calf strain that he got in week two of a regular season and ended up missing eight games. So I know how difficult those can be to deal with. You would hope that he would move past it, but the fact that we're still having this conversation lets you know that they're not 100% certain about his ability to be able to play in the field.
If I were to ask you, cuddle, marry, trash.
Oh, my goodness. Most, at 10:35?
Most likely to be back for this year's crazy opening day. Aaron Hicks, who had Tommy John in October, James Paxton, who had back surgery at the beginning of February, or Stanton, who had a calf strain on February 25th.
I think I'd marry Paxton.
Yeah, going into a contract year, no doubt.
You would marry Paxton being available after back surgery?
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than motivated. A calf strain?
Yeah. Well, I mean, from what they said, it sounds like we're in better shape with Paxton.
Yeah, now. I'm saying at the time.
Oh,
not
oh,
now.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, at the
yeah.
time?
At the time.
No.
Yeah,
no.
At the time.
The calf strain. The calf strain. You would marry the calf strain being ready to go.
Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Hicks is going to be back yeah. in time to play center field after Tommy John.
Yeah. Although I did have back surgery, I had more problem with the calf surgery than I did the back surgery.
Yeah, but you tore. Your calf was torn up. This was supposed to be a 4 to 6. When he did it, this was supposed to be a 4 to 6 week injury.
And what are we now?
Yeah,
my
calf was torn up and I had to have spinal fusion surgery. Which one would you think would be more difficult to get past?
Spinal fusion.
Yeah, exactly.
But you had spinal fusion after you were done.
Yeah.
Paxton's going to go out and pitch after back surgery.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just seems.
That's not major back surgery.
It's still back surgery.
But it's not major back surgery.
Dave. Back surgery in a grade one calf strain. Grade one is the least. Grade two is bad. Grade three is completely torn.
Correct.
Okay, so anytime you're talking about back surgery as opposed to a grade one calf strain,
I agree
the assumption
with
would be, you know what, the calf strain is probably going to be healthy before the back surgery.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that as far as back surgeries go, what he had is the most minor you could possibly have.
Okay. I love the fact that you're comparing your back surgery to James Paxton, who has to actually pitch.
I had the same
baseball
surgery twice, and I was.
It sounds like we're in better shape with Paxton.
Yeah, being Dave Rothenberg, you're sitting around talking on the radio, you know, walking up and down stairs. No, you're not picking up a baseball and starting for the New York Yankees. I think it's a little bit different. I can't believe you're arguing this. I mean, I can't believe you're even arguing
it's,
the point
it's not
that
a
you
major
would expect
back surgery. It's 4 months.
I don't care what kind of surgery. Any surgery,
fine.
Any surgery is a major. Any surgery is a major deal.
Yes.
Any kind of surgery.
Yeah.
To sit here and try to argue that you expected a guy with back surgery to be back.
I did.
Before
it's
a guy who had
Yankees.
A great. No, they didn't.
By now, of course they did.
They expected James Paxton to be further along from back surgery.
I'm not saying
than they
further
did Stanton.
Along.
That's the question. That's the point. That is
two
the
different
point.
Questions.
No, it's not two different questions. You got a guy who had Tommy John in October. You had a guy who had back surgery the first week of February, and you had a guy who strained his calf, not two, not grade three, grade one, on February 25th. And the guy that they seems the least optimistic to be ready is the calf strain.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because well, that makes sense.
Well, I think you should be concerned about Stanton and also think that by this point you expected Paxton. I think it's two completely different
scenarios. I don't care what
scenarios.
You expected from the – no, I don't care. That was not the question. I don't care what you expect from Paxton. The point is – you would expect Stanton to be healthy enough to play the outfield at this point.
Yep, well, he's not.
Because who knows how healthy Judge can be. If you had the fact that Judge is going to be forced to play right field to be in the lineup, as opposed to Stanton playing the outfield so you can protect Judge a little bit, who had a broken bone, a broken rib, that's a problem.
All I can say is thank God for Brett Gardner, because who knows where you would be if you didn't have him as an option.
Well, I mean, who cares? You got Hicks back now.
Yeah, but how long? How long? I mean, at this point,
Yankees,
I mean, with the player, what the
a
player keeps showing you is that he can't stay healthy.
I just think it's amazing. I couldn't believe that was. I couldn't believe Cashman said it.
Yeah.
Of all the things he said, that surprised me the most.
Well, we'll get to the Yankees at 11, but I think you're at the point where you can question the legitimate injury issues when it comes to Stanton now.
I just don't know what you're doing. I mean, the part of – I get it. I mean, everyone's trying to stay safe and everything else. But, I mean, you also, at the same time, you're rehabbing the injury. Like, of the people allowed to go to a facility, you're allowed to go to the facility to get rehab on your injury. Unless he just said, you know what, I'll just have this thing heal up. There's not going to be a baseball season, so screw it. I'd hate to believe that. I mean, shouldn't you be working as if – shouldn't you be working so
yeah,
that
you would
when,
think by now he would be healthy 100%.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
I mean, we're 4 months.
Yeah, we're 4 months. And I think it's what makes it worse for me, and I didn't even want to get into this yet, was that, I mean, your most important player, I mean, maybe outside of Gleyber Torres, we obviously know how important Gerrit Cole is, but a position player is Aaron Judge.
Yes.
And I would like to have the opportunity to protect him a little bit. I know how he plays the game. He's coming back from a broken rib. So, you know, throwing a – and this is on the right side. So throwing a baseball – could be a problem. Swinging a baseball bat as hard as he swings a baseball bat, problem. And also him diving around in the outfield, problem. Like you could, to protect him, I would like to see him DH at least early on. And now if I can't do that because Stanton can't play the outfield, well, what good is that?
So right now we got Aaron Judge hitting off a tee. Is that where he is with the rehab process?
It sounds like it.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. I guess the thing that bothers me is that this thing has taken so long to heal for Aaron Judge, you know, with diagnosing it, figure out what it was, and now it's a rib and trying to get it to heal while also ramping up back to activity. Like, it's just – this is one of those things that you worry about. Will we ever see the Aaron Judge that we saw back in 2017? Like, we have no idea.
You would hope so. I mean, still a young man. But you're right. He's a huge guy who's had legitimate injuries over the last couple of years. Let's table this till 11 o'clock, and we'll get back into it. Let's go to Jackson in Albany. Jackson, you're next up on 98.7.
How you doing, fellas?
What's up, Jackson?
So much, man. I'm just got a question, though. As far as, like, getting back to the restart, everybody's concerned about health and everything. I'm with Kenny on this. But as far as I'm concerned, at what point do these leagues start sweeping positive tests under the rug?
Oh, you can't do that.
You're right.
Well, baseball, I mean, baseball's kind of doing it. Baseball's just going to put you on the IL. They're not going to say that it's a COVID-19 positive test.
I think he's saying, like, either not tell them or just, you know, you can't do that.
They're not going to do that. That's the one thing that concerns them the most. Outside of a player getting, you know, passing away or becoming really, really sick, is the long-term liability because of this. Because no one knows how this, no one has any idea how this affects you long-term.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Could you imagine if it gets found out that you didn't tell a player that they tested positive and let them play?
No, you get, I mean, you'd get.
You'd be ruined.
No, you couldn't do that. But the
couldn't
thing
do
I
it.
Find
you'd it, sued immediately.
But the thing I find interesting is that the players themselves are demanding transparency, and the organizations are not in a position where they can disclose players that are testing positive for COVID-19. So, I mean, how do you find that balance between, you know, making sure that you still have the trust of the players and knowing that some of them are going to have to sit out and you're not able to disclose to the other players as to why?
I guess
guys could figure it out. But I mean,
why is Aaron Judge not in the lineup today? I don't know.
Exactly. It's like we don't know.
Upper body injury.
Yeah. Just didn't feel like playing it, but it's game four of the ALCS.
But that's going to be, I mean, wouldn't you imagine that's a conversation that the league's going to have with the union? And maybe if they don't announce it, at least it'll be announced amongst the players so they know.
They should. That's what I'm saying. They should. But, I mean, I guess that's the part that's a little unclear. You know, how are they going to handle that? Because you got to be straight up with the players, man. If you don't tell them the truth and you leave it up to them to figure out, then that's not going to give them a lot of confidence in terms of the league doing everything that it can to keep everybody as safe as possible.
Yeah, which I don't know. I mean, with the travel and everything else, I don't know how you accomplish that. In all honesty,
scary.
With baseball. But even their unwillingness to kind of like change travel and everything else, like the idea of having, you know, multiple series against teams. I said this yesterday. I mean, if you got to play a team, I mean, if you're playing a division rival 10 times, then you go there for 5 games. They come here for 5 games. That's it.
Yep.
I need you going back and forth, back and forth.
Now you got to walk through Miami's airport with the outbreak going on down there?
You don't walk through the airport, Dave. The bus picks you up. You walk off the plane and the bus picks you up. You don't walk into an airport.
I still don't want guys traveling.
Exactly.
Twice.
You don't want the traveling. I agree with that. Not even just traveling. It's another stay in the hotel.
You're still going to be checking into a hotel. There's still things in a hotbed of COVID right now.
See, but it's the multiple times in the hotel. You're only increasing your chances.
Well, of course.
Rather than stay in that hotel one time, now you're going to go back a second time? No, it makes no sense.
Just have 5-game series.
That's what I'm saying. Just go one time, boom, bang, and out, and you're done.
That's right. Thursday through Monday, you're done. Then you get a day off. Then you go another, you know, 5-game set. That's how you do it.
And they got to test players every single day. They have to. The idea that you're going to walk
every other day. They're saying every other day.
I guess that's what they said. But I was listening to someone say, you know, what if someone shows up, you know, during flu season with a fever and you got to shut them down? I think it was Cashman that said that. But he doesn't really have COVID. He just has a fever because he's got the flu. Well, I mean, if you test them, if you do what the NHL does, where they're going to test you at night, and then by the time you wake up in the morning, you know if you're negative or positive.
Yeah, but wouldn't you also get a flu test? Like, I would think if you have a fever, they're going to give you every test.
Exactly right, but that doesn't solve the, like, if it's the starting pitcher, and now you have to take him out because he has the fever, and it turns out he didn't really have COVID-19, which is, it's par for the course. Who cares in the grand scheme of things, but that would be like, okay, who's going to pitch now? Like, Malika Andrews, did you hear her? I mean, she's going to actually go into the bubble down in Orlando.
And never leave it?
And she's not going to leave it.
Right.
But she said that the amount of testing that they're doing, she said that they gave her, she went in for a test, and she went to like this ballroom. Not only did they do one nostril, they did the second nostril, and they did your throat. So you got both nostrils and the throat.
It's comprehensive.
As part of the test. Yeah.
Now, the announcers are going into the bubble? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, they're going to have to, right?
Well, I don't know why.
You think they should just do it from a monitor?
Well, I mean, that's how other sports are doing it.
I think the accessibility, too. I think as far as, you know, having an opportunity to interact with the players more,
yeah,
I guess.
Certainly it makes it better, but I just
some cool opportunities, too, to have players. I mean, there are a lot of players that want to be involved with media when they're done. And they're going to have nothing else to do.
Right.
You can go watch other teams play.
Yeah,
you know,
sure, you get a lot of great conversation with those guys.
Or have them be the sideline reporters or something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, how great would that be?
It'd be awesome.
Have LeBron analyzing a game between the Clippers and the Kings. It'd be unbelievable.
But isn't that the best? I find that that's
the
best
the
part.
But that's the stuff they should do.
I'm hoping they do it. But wasn't that the coolest part of the golf match between Tiger and Phil and Brady
and
Peyton?
Kind of the inside access that you got.
Yeah, it was like when Phil was breaking down his chip shot. Like, as me as a golfer, like, listening to him talk about, like, the grain of the grass and where he's going to land it. And because there's some, you know, some rain, this ball should skid. Like, that's awesome. I would love to have someone like...
It's enticing to think we were going to get that with Major League Baseball, right? You'd have Pete Alonso mic'd up and talk to him during innings. How great would that be?
Yeah, that's a misstep. That was a huge missed opportunity, I think. Even have guys... But even... I mean, how about just have guys mic'd up that have to sit in the stands? They can't sit in the dugout. Have them mic'd up for the game. At least you can ask them questions. Like, the KBO's turned into like more like you're watching the game because visually you see it's not the radio, right? So you see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like, Jeff Passan's on. They're going back and forth asking him questions. And like, they'll update you as they go, but it'd be cool to go back and forth with the players. Like,
absolutely.
Like, what do you think here?
What's he gonna do it? This is the time.
Like, what's he going to throw here? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Or what I would do here?
Well, it just seems like that would fit more so in baseball than in any other sport because there's so much downtime in between activity. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could actually have a conversation with one of the players that might not actually be in the game, and you can get some insights as to how they see the game in real time. You know what I mean? As opposed to a former player who's now an analyst.
I think it'd be awesome.
I think it brings a whole new element to the table. So,
it would be.
That would be something that they should explore. But that should be something that they talked about this summer when they were trying to figure out a return to play with the CBA negotiations in 2021 being the backdrop to that. Like, I just feel like that should have been a conversation that they had similar to what the NHL and the NHLPA did.
Yeah, but in typical baseball fashion, they let one get away, and now you won't have that this year. And you won't have expanded playoffs, which would have been great this season. So... It's not surprising.
Yeah, but you know what, Dave? We're all suckers because we all can't wait for the start of baseball in a couple of
weeks. We can't wait for anything.
But they got us.
Of course.
As ugly as that back and forth was between the Players Association and the owners the last 2 months, we still can't wait for baseball
the
23rd.
You're
we still can't wait.
Right. Yep. Yeah, we're desperate.
Yeah, they got us, but they've always had us. That wasn't their issue. They have us. We love baseball. They're trying to get the other people to fall in love with baseball. Give them a reason to turn on the game.
Yeah. It was the
You don't think they'll have some new sets of eyeballs on the game when they start
will.
Up this
month? They will just because people don't have as much to do now.
But it'll still be baseball. But it'll still be baseball. Right? Like, it's still going to be baseball. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're going to have NFL training camps. You're going to have NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs. There's nothing new. It's not like, oh, I'm going to turn this on and
expecting
baseball, but I'm pleasantly surprised because I get to hear players
mic'd up. I mean, you're going to have this nonsensical California rule with a player on second base, but it's going to be the same game that you've always seen. And this was the opportunity to change it a little bit, and they let it get away. But it's not surprising because this is what they do. Today's hump day, isn't it? Today's Wednesday.
It is a hump day.
Yeah, we didn't even make mention of that.
No, because every day feels like the same day.
I just wasn't sure. It took a minute to realize, but today, in fact, is Wednesday, so we got that going for us. And we got Andy from Merrick with our questions of the day. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. I'm going to bring you back onto the college campus today, but I'm also going to give you a Bobby Bonilla Day bonus question.
Oh, God.
Starting with the big man on campus. Ready?
I'm ready, Andy.
Eddie Robinson is one of the winningest coaches in college football history.
Mm-hmm.
55 years at Grambling State. Can you tell me Grambling State's mascot?
Oh, man. GSU. What is Grambling State's mascot? Come on.
I feel like
now.
Dave definitely knows this.
How do I know the chant of the school and the mascot doesn't pop in my mind? Hold on one second, Andy.
Dave, you know this, right?
This is one of those.
I'm saying nothing. I'm going to let Chris figure this one out because he'll get it.
Oh, this is simple. This is simple. Yeah. It's the same mascot as LSU, the Tigers.
It is the Tigers. Well done.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Rick back on campus. A guy named Jack Parker, BU coach for 40 years in hockey, ranked number 3 all-time in the NCAA with wins. This active NCAA coach is number 1 all-time with 1,069 wins. Who is he?
Most wins. Oh, my God, what's his name?
I know.
I miss Jack Parker. I know who this is. Same city.
Crosstown rival.
Yeah, he was also recruiting me. Funniest part about him is he would call me for, like, he'd be like at Logan Airport. He would call and he'd say, "Hey Rick, it's Jerry. I'm actually at Logan Airport. I think I can see your house. Okay, I'll talk to you later." Jerry York.
Yeah, you got it.
I actually asked Jack Parker at one point. I said, "Hey, coach." I said, "You didn't really recruit me that hard." I said, "Jerry York was calling me all the time." He goes, "That was my strategy. The more you talk to him, the less, you want to go.
Less likely you'd be to go there."
That's hey, what's up? It's Jerry.
And he's still following you.
Oh, boy.
Following the show now.
All right, David. College basketball.
All right.
As you know, Coach K of Duke has the most career wins for men's D1 basketball. But since 1950, can you tell me which D1 men's coach has the highest winning percentage?
I mean, I'm not giving you the answer, but it's got to be. It doesn't have to be John Wooden, Rick.
No? I mean, initially, that's what you would think initially. I mean, is that your gut?
I will tell you it's an active coach.
It's active, Dave.
Active coach. And John Wooden, not active.
Not very, no. No. Definitely not active.
I wonder if it's Roy Williams. Now I'm... So what's this? It's the highest winning percentage?
Yep. And it's... Highest winning percentage, men's D1 basketball.
It's not Coach K?
And it's not Coach K, you said?
Nope.
It's got to be Roy Williams, then.
Final answer?
I don't know. Final answer.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. It's actually Mark Few of Gonzaga with an 828 winning percentage.
It's a terrible question. It's a terrible question.
Horrible question. All right, let's see if we can make it up in Bobby Bonilla form here.
Oh, great. This will put you in a good mood.
Bobby Bonilla played 16 years in his professional career. How many of those years did he reach the 30 home run mark?
He was a good hitter. I mean, he was an underrated player.
I don't understand why do people blame Bobby Bonilla for still
what?
Getting paid?
That's not his fault at all.
How did the Mets accept that deal? It's a ridiculous deal.
So he played.
No, what's ridiculous is that the Mets thought that they would get 10% interest on return on investment for 20, 30 years. That's ridiculous.
Well, that's what happens when you believe a guy who's, you know, running a Ponzi scheme. So what's the question, Andy?
How many times did Bobby Bonilla breach the 30 home run mark?
I think he definitely did at least once for the Mets.
That is true.
Had to do it for the Pirates, too. He was a good player on the Pirates. I don't know, Rick, you have any idea?
I know. I definitely know the once.
So you think he did it twice, Dave?
I don't know.
Okay.
I know he did it with the Mets.
Okay.
I mean, he was a good player for the Pirates. He was an
And you feel like he did it with the Pirates once, too?
At least.
Okay.
At least once. He feels like a mid... Like, he feels like a... The reason why I feel like Andy's asking this question is got to be because he's like always around 30, but rarely breaking 30.
I really have no idea.
I feel like we go lower end. If you definitely think once with the Mets,
I know he did it once.
At least okay. No, it did. I mean, we know he did it once. At least once with the Pirates. I say we stick with low. I say we go. He's asking this question because it's he's trying to bury us. This has to be lower end. I say we go twice.
Guys, you talked your way right through it. Twice is correct.
Was it once with the Mets and once with the Pirates? Is that right?
Absolutely correct.
It's so diabolical, Andy.
Well,
he's out for blood today.
You foiled my evil plot. Guys, as always, stay healthy.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.